We'd like to welcome all of you here. We appreciate you coming today. And I think we'll kind of adjust the agenda a little bit. So I think right now we'll turn the time over to the audit committee, and that way the auditors from Larson can leave after this report. But so if we could turn the time to you, Jeff, and your committee, and however you want to do this to report the audit. I think you've each got a, should each have an audit report. I've got a few other copies if you don't in front of you.
Yeah, so if everybody wants to open the audit, I want to congratulate Richard on a great audit again this year. There are no areas of non-compliance. Last year's findings have been corrected, and there was one suggestion that the USBA take their vacation or their leave time.
Yes, yep, their vacation and sick leave.
Okay, vacation and sick, post that. And I've asked Carson Hatch from Larson Associates, this is Martha Hayes, Larson & Company, to just give us a summary of the audit.
Okay. Some of you have already heard this, but so if you turn in, just past the table of contents, it's the independent auditor's report. And this is what, you know, this is ultimately where we provide our opinion on the audit we performed. And so we did audit the financial statements of the insurance pool for the year ended June 30th, 2017. You know, ultimately, it is management's responsibility to ensure that those financial statements are prepared in accordance with the generally accepted accounting principles as promulgated by the GASB. And then it's our responsibility to ensure that we, you know, audit those financial statements in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards and, you know, and government auditing standards. And to ensure that the financial statements are, you know, presented materially accurate. And so to do that, we, you know, perform our risk assessments and evaluation of internal controls and processes to determine the extent of the testing we are to perform and to where, and, you know, and where we focus our testing. And ultimately, we do believe that the tests we performed provide us enough audit evidence to provide the opinion that we did provide. And so we do believe that in all material respects, the financial statements are presented fairly and in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's, you know, that's the clean opinion, your unmodified opinion, you know, various terminology that you may hear. There is some required supplementary information as required by the GASB, as I know everyone's familiar with. We point that out because, you know, the MD&A, there's a couple reserving schedules that are in here, and then there's a couple schedules provided by the retirement systems that are included as that supplementary information. We, you know, do very limited procedures on those, and because of the limited procedures we do perform, we ultimately don't provide an opinion upon those. And that is the same with internal controls over the financial reporting and over the compliance. You know, we do our evaluation and we do our assessment, you know, to help us determine the extent of the testing to be performed. But again, there's no opinion over those internal controls that, yeah, there's just no opinion related to those internal controls. And so if you turn past the management discussion analysis to page 12, this is your statement of net position, balance sheet, or the, you know, the asset side, and not really a ton of significant change. If you refer to the cash flow statement and just comparing this year's to last year's, you'll notice that, you know, there was a significant increase in cash from, you know, 2015 to 2016, but a minimal increase in cash this year, you know, from 2016 to 2017, and some of that being that, you know, premiums were essentially flat with a slight decrease. And you had an increase in the overall claims paid and just general operating expenses. So as far as maintaining and keeping that zero base balance budget, I mean, you guys were really close. And so if you look, you know, if we're to turn to page 14, you would see that you're still a positive change in that position. $146,000, but, you know, it's good budgeting, I guess is what I was trying to say there. And so it worked out well as far as the budget and the actuals. Just quickly, one last item on the balance sheet is just receivables. Receivables are just down due to related party receivables not being quite as high this year as in the past. And then we'll turn to page 13, the liability piece and the ending net position pieces. So your reserves for loss and loss adjustment expenses are up. And, you know, anytime reserve change, there's always a lot going into this. Your reserves change because of the amount of, you know, claims that you've paid, and your reserves also change because of the re-estimation and the open claims that are still out there. And so although that this year that the pool did pay out more, the re-estimation of reserves for or open claims increased higher than the amount that was paid out, so hence there was still an increase in your reserves. And when comparing to the actuary's estimates, though, you are a bit higher, about $265,000 higher than what the actuary estimates. And so you do have some redundancies in your reserves, which is not a bad thing. And, you know, it is good to have that cushion. And so, and that number is always net of the reinsurance. And so this is the estimate of, you know, and I know you guys see this in your actuary report. If you were to look at the direct layer, that number would be a bit higher, about $1.8 million higher, versus, you know, what you ultimately can recover on reinsurance because of those claims that will hit those thresholds and those limitations. And then there is one new line item there that you can see, and that's what Jeff pointed out, the accrued expenses. This is the only adjustment we proposed in relation to the audit, is that they picked up those compensated absences and just, you know, adjust that every year going forward. It was material enough that we wanted, but it wasn't material enough that we felt that it required a restatement by any means, if that makes sense. You'll notice the net pension liability went up a titch, and that's just URS's re-estimation on they changed their rate of return rate, which I believe most of you are familiar with. And then other than that, things were, you know, pretty even keel there. And then we had essentially already talked about the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net positions. And, you know, everything was essentially right on. You did have an increase in losses paid, or, you know, claims paid this year, and operating expenses, but your investment income put you back into the black. So you got a small net operating loss, but nothing to be concerned about. Is, you know, you're right in line with your budget, where you'd want to be for a risk pool. So let's see. Yeah, and if you turn to page 15, you can see where those claims expenses are up under the cash flows from operating activities. And so, and a lot of that is, even though the claims are up, it's, you know, there is some good news. And if, you know, when we evaluated the actuary report, we could see that claims closed this year. You know, we closed a lot of claims, but yet unfortunately, there was a high frequency this year too. So, which also corresponds to your increase in reserves as well. So, I think that's all on the financial statements, unless anyone has any questions. Just to remember to always read the notes to the financial statements, because it's what clarifies what's in the numbers and provides the bigger picture of what's happened and what, you know, as far as the accounting policies and how things were being accounted for, and provides that greater detail of what's going on. So, yeah, so unless there's any questions, does that work? Or?
Anybody have any questions? Okay, I think we should congratulate Richard and his staff on a great audit this year. Thanks, Richard.
And thanks to Larson and Company.
Yes, thank you.
We appreciate them. I think that most of you know they've done the audit for us for a number of years, but they have somebody assigned, so you guys know that as well. Then they change up and have somebody else that's assigned to do the audit work. Usually they come and spend a week here doing the audit, and have this year, I think there was, because Martha and Karsten would come and be here part of it. There's about five auditors that were here for the week. And I can't imagine what they can do here for a week doing an audit.
We
ask that question every day to them.
We can relate.
I'm not sure what it is. But
I think we feed them too good. I think that might be it.
I think that's what it is.
Carson doesn't eat, so.
Man, I'm telling you, they do dig down into every detail there is. And so they have done a great job for us and done that again. So yeah, I just say thanks to you guys and to all of your team.
All right, we can excuse you now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
If somebody would be willing to make a motion to approve this audit report as presented, a motion and a second.
So moved.
Jeff made a motion. Darren Clark seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Could I just call your attention to this document here? I know you don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, and you probably just throw this thing away. But to me, this right here is more important than the audit. When you look in there, that it says, at the end of the day, if you go right to the executive summary, it tells you in there, you know, do you have enough reserves to pay your claims? So if we went out of business today, could we pay all of our claims? And would your employees be protected, and we would have enough money to pay them? And the answer is yes. It's right here. It tells you that we do, and the auditors made a reference to that, that we had some redundancy there on our reserves. It's not a lot, but it's just about exactly where we want to be. Certainly don't want to be under, although that can easily happen because, you know, they fluctuate. You know, we don't know when you're going to have a claim, and you're not. And so we're always estimating what those claims are when you have them, and then we estimate the claims that you haven't had. And so with all told, you can see in there that we do have some in excess or redundancy of those reserves. And so, anyhow, that's where I like to be and like to see us there. And like I say, to me, that's the most important thing right there, is to know that we have it, and for you to know that we have those reserves in place to cover all of those. So anyhow, so now you can just throw that thing away if you want to. You know. It only cost you about $40,000 for that thing, by the way, so but maybe you don't want to throw it away.
I mean, if you're a very well-run organization, for sure, appreciate Richard and all the staff for the great work that they do. Okay, minutes for our last meeting. I'm sure you've all had an opportunity to review those and look at them. Any comments or questions or corrections to the minutes? If not, did we have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Patty moved.
I'll second.
Stephanie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, in this book with the agenda, it contains some financial reports for June and July of 2017. Is there any explanation or clarification that we need to talk about on these, Richard?
I think that if you will, if you just look at it, you can see that does balance with the financial statement. So I think that everything is tied, and so we will close out the June 30th financials. But all of those numbers go back and do reconcile with the financial audit.
Okay.
And that's always a good thing. Everything balances, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. yeah, that is a good thing. Okay, could we have a motion to approve the financial report for June and July?
I'll make that motion.
Delan? Second?
I'll second.
Laura? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, on the committee reports, we'll start out with the executive committee. And I'd just like to comment, I guess the first thing is that yesterday we held interviews for Bobby's replacement. Kent Peterson, myself, Richard, and Bobby participated, were on the panel to do the interviews. We had some very, very good applicants, all of them. I was very impressed with all the applicants. We had six that we interviewed. There was two in-house, two current employees that were interviewed. We were very impressed with them. Our committee, after our interviews yesterday, we discussed the pros and cons and the different people, the strengths and weaknesses, and we kind of arrived at a tentative decision yesterday, but then we thought about it over the night, and we met a little bit this morning and discussed it a little bit further, and so there's a candidate that we would like to recommend to you. I'm going to pass out her resume. So, the lady that the committee all felt really good about and that we would like to recommend to you is a lady by the name of Sherry Comish. Do you guys remember what she said that CPCU stood for?
Yes.
I mean, jokingly.
Oh, I don't remember the joke.
I can't remember.
Oh, she did say, didn't she?
I thought that was pretty good. Do you remember, Bobby?
I can't remember.
Can't pay, can't underwrite, or something
like that. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't really mean that. But very good, a very good personality, a very easy person to talk to, very intelligent. She's had approximately 21 years of experience with the State Workers' Comp Fund down at the bottom of the first page, and the second page talks a little bit about that. There was one concern. She does have a degree from the University of Utah. We knew that Darren's concerned about that. But Stephanie was okay with that. So.
Maybe if we strengthen internal controls,
we'll be next year, huh?
Anyway, so some good experience with the State Workers' Comp Fund. Then she worked for AutoZoner Insurance for approximately 7 years, two different senior underwriter and a claims representative, and then she was with Corval for just 5 months, and she left Corval. They were very pleased with her. She loved the job, but it was quite an advancement to go to Savage. And she's been with Savage Services for about 3 years. Savage has approximately 3,700 employees that they deal with in USA, Mexico, and Canada. Anyway, we felt like she does have a lot of strengths. She does not have a current adjuster's license. She did have one. She let it lapse. We would require that we're going to ask her to get that within 3 months. But we would like to offer her the job. Is there any discussion or any questions or Any comments? Any concerns? Can't you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Bobby's offer to stay for another
second.
The motion's been made and seconded. All in favor?
We can hold up your retirement, Bobby, because I have a paper I'd have to sign. So I can hold that up for about 6 months.
Hey, when Sherry comes, you guys are going to be so excited that you won't miss me at all.
So, a lot of things we considered, of course, professional qualifications. Very important that we feel that they fit in and will help maintain the excellent atmosphere that has existed with Bobby. A lot of considerations, and we feel good about Sherry. And she would need to give her current employer a 2-week notice, so the start date would be approximately November 1st. And then Bobby would leave on the end of December. So that's kind of the timetable. So that would give her approximately 2 months to train Sherry. Anything else?
No, you'll love her. She's great. She's very, very personable. And, like Carrie said, she's very knowledgeable. But she fit in really well. And that, the committee talked about, what kind of a person, we kind of want somebody that fits in with the office. And as you all know, Richard's a constant jokester, and you have to have a pretty good sense of humor to work here. So, that was one of the things that we looked at as we interviewed, these people. And, so I think it's going to be great. I think you guys will love her, and she'll do a fantastic job. So,
I think one thing we did talk about, she comes highly recommended by Carrie Chappell.
Yeah.
Who knows her well, and I think she has a pretty good sense of people, and so that was meaningful for us.
Any concern with her staying long term? She's changed jobs a little bit.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we're interested.
We did talk about that. We noticed that. We had a real good discussion with her about that, and we feel that these changes have been moving up. And, she's indicated that she would stay with us. And we honestly believe at least 7 years, at least, maybe longer. And we think that she'll love this job so much and the benefits that she's...
We kind of think she's maybe attracted to the fact of getting back under the state retirement system, picking up those other years to facilitate her retirement. You said workers' comp was under the state.
Yeah. Workers' comp fund is under the state retirement system, or participate in state retirement. And so this will give her an opportunity to come back into the system as a Tier 1 employee, obviously. And so I think that she will stay here until she retires, and my guess would be that's probably, I've said 7 years is what I think that she would stay with us.
And maybe longer.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
And so I think,
she's here at least as long as you.
Yeah.
You did visit with her, though, and felt that she was committed to stay.
Yeah.
Even after we interviewed her. We asked her pretty directly.
Even after she met you, Kent, she still would come and work for us.
Well, that's all balanced out by you, Richard. She can tell who she would be working for.
No, I think in spite of me why she's coming, she was very impressed with Kent and Terry, and they are so professional, just like all of you would be in that kind of setting. You've been there many, many times, and so you know, and she was extremely impressed with these two and their professional way that they handled the interviews, and so it was. They just really stood out. It was better than I expected them to be out of these two. And so,
yeah, we're all surprised.
You'd have been even more surprised yesterday, all to see them.
Wow, it's getting deep.
I actually just enjoyed it. I did. I just sat there and enjoyed the whole interview process, just watching them and asking questions and how they handled it. It was pretty neat. It was just a really neat experience with those two, and I appreciate them both taking it. It took the entire day yesterday, well, pretty much, till 2:30 or something. So they spent a lot of time working on it and coming up with the recommendation.
I would echo what Carrie said, that we have 6 really good candidates.
Yeah.
Really good candidates. Any one of them could actually have taken the job and run with it. We just felt she was maybe a little bit, stood out a little bit.
Yeah. You said some of the candidates were in-house.
Yeah, we had 2 people in-house here of our employees.
And they'll be okay, you think? But you would know them, knowing that they didn't get the...
You know, of course, that always hurts. You know, when you apply for a position and you don't get it. And they've been with us, as Karen and Ron, and Karen's been with us for quite a while. I think it hurt. I think that, you know, any time you have to tell somebody, you know, you don't get the job, you know, that's certainly not the most enjoyable thing that you do. But I think that they'll be okay. I think they're professional enough that they will be. I think that they'll embrace her, and I think it'll work out just great with them. I think the other part of that, Paul, and I would have guessed you to ask that question, because you're always sensitive to those issues. I would think for Karen or Ron, they will be here for quite a while longer. And I think, you know, in my estimation, you know, when Sherry retires, I think that those two would certainly be very good candidates for that position then. Even though they are now, it's just that Sherry happened to be a little bit better. I think give them a little more time, you know, either one of those two or others could be a very good possibility.
So. And Richard talked to him. He told me to talk to him this morning, to those two. So, we ready for a motion? Do we have a motion to, a second to approve?
I'd like to make the motion that we approve the employment of Sherry Cromish to take over Bobby's position when Bobby retires.
Second.
I'll second.
There, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I was just saying, that's kind of a sad eye.
Oh. Like, yeah. And you know, yeah.
I
don't
want to see
you know why.
Oh, well, I'll miss you too. I'll think of you as I'm sleeping in every morning. What?
Sleeping in until 6:30.
Yeah, so. That's probably the truth, right?
Okay, I think the next thing on the agenda is 4.3, Claims Committee, Keith and Bobby, so we'll need to go into executive session for that. So we have a motion for that.
Make a motion that we go into closed session and discuss personnel items.
Tracy.
Second.
Lark. All in favor?
Could we have Tracy change that, though? That this is for litigation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
closed session for litigation.
Yeah. That's a good point. Thanks, Richard. Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Unanimous.